Good morning, and thank you once again for tuning in to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host of this program. I want to thank you for joining me today. And this is a program where each week we study the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right now we are studying in Luke chapter 14 for a few weeks, and last week we looked at the parable of the Great Supper. And today we're going to pick up where we left off, and we'll be looking at Luke 14, verses 25 through 35, as we consider the cost of discipleship. Luke is continuing to teach us about who can and cannot be in the kingdom of Christ. Not everyone can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Chapter 13 showed us that there are many who desire to enter, but few will enter through the narrow door. And Luke teaches us now more about the cost of following Jesus. Go with me now to our text, and we'll pick up in Luke 14 and verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The first thing that we must do if we're going to be a disciple or desire to be is to recognize the cost. Now notice that our scene here begins with great crowds following Jesus. And Jesus turns and addresses the crowd that is accompanying him. Go back to verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus tells them that they must hate their families and their own lives to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus is teaching that a disciple must forsake all relationships and desires. Now, the term hate does not mean we are to have an emotional hate toward our family. but that we will love them less than Jesus. Following Jesus must be the disciples' first love. Following Jesus is to have priority over any family member and even one's own life. All other concerns take second place to following Jesus. Discipleship is a call to allegiance. Jesus is to have first place over all, including family. In those days, a Jew who made a choice for Jesus would alienate his family. A decision for Christ marked a person, and it automatically came with a cost. The point is that only when one forsakes all others is one following Jesus. Otherwise, something else will have a greater pull on that one's allegiance than Jesus does. Jesus must mean more to us than our families. No matter how much we love them, there are times when our love for our families tries to get in the way of our love for Jesus. It does this when we let our parents discourage us from making a complete commitment to Christ. It does this when a marriage turns inward instead of outward to serve others out of strength of a godly partnership. Or when we have an idolatrous attachment to our children and their activities, with little time left over to show mercy or share the gospel. Jesus is telling us not to let the claims that our families make on us interfere with the claims that He makes on us. Many temptations come with focusing on our family. And our love for Jesus must take precedence over everything. Unless Jesus is our brightest and highest affection, we cannot be His disciples. We must love Jesus more. Self-denial is also part of the cost. We must love Jesus more than our own being. Now, the process of discipleship is stressed here, not the decision to enter into it. In verse 27, notice the present tense of the wording. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To follow Jesus means we will follow in suffering, because the world rejects the disciples of Jesus. Bearing the cross means we are willing to bear the pain of persecution as a result of following Jesus. Discipleship is not an invitation to ease and comfort, but demands sacrifice and suffering. Discipleship involves more than just showing up. Jesus is calling for a passionate pursuit of Him. Only a passionate pursuit will have the dedication and resolve to give up anything to be with Jesus. Jesus does not remove the cost of following Him, but He explains the cost. Many so-called churches today that try their best to eliminate all the cost in following Jesus so they can make it easy to follow Him. But this is not being a disciple of Christ. That is being a disciple of self. Christianity today is being promoted as glorified and holy cafes, places where you can get some coffee, hear music, be entertained. But we should not offer anything more than Jesus. For truly, what is there else to offer? To bring people in with anything else will not make disciples of Jesus, but disciples of self. And so, the cost of discipleship must be assessed. Go with me to verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So Jesus gives us two illustrations concerning the need to assess the cost of following Jesus. He first gives the illustration of building a tower. The tower here likely does not refer to a fortress tower, but instead probably a farm building. A parallel might be building an addition to one's house. Not counting the cost means the project will not be completed. The building will stand unfinished as a monument to one's foolishness. Jesus declares that one must assess whether one is ready to take on the personal commitment and sacrifice required to follow Christ. Following Jesus is not an invitation to an ice cream social. Jesus has described the cost of following him. Recognizing that all other concerns take second place to follow Jesus. The Christian life will cost us everything to follow him. Therefore, we need to sit down and decide whether we can pay that price. The second illustration is fairly similar, and it concerns a king going to war. A king must calculate the cost before going into battle. To avoid an embarrassing and deadly outcome, one is to count the cost. It is foolish to not consider what it will take to be a disciple. But there is an interesting depth that is found in the illustration. The king must consider what the cost will be for not allying himself with the more powerful king. Verse 32 makes this point. Verse 32 says, "Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." If the king recognizes he will not be successful, then he will wisely send a delegation for peace. Faced with the threat of a superior army, the weaker party should consider his resources carefully before deciding to defend himself. We must consider the cost also, though, of non-discipleship. The first question we must ask is whether we can afford to follow Jesus. The next question we must ask is whether we can afford not to follow Jesus. We must recognize the cost. Notice beginning in verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So therefore, we must carefully consider what Jesus is asking us to do and recognize what it will cost us if we do not follow him. First, the cost is stated again in verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. If we do not renounce all that we have, we cannot be his disciple. We are called to give up all that we have. At the beginning of this teaching, Jesus said that we have to give up family, and we have to give up ourselves. We have to give up our very lives. We must give up everything to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that we get to keep for ourselves. There is nothing that is not required to be placed on the altar before the Lord. Jesus is not asking us to make room in our lives for him. He is telling us to get rid of everything else to follow him. We cannot think that what God is asking of us is small. We do a great disservice to the world if we indicate that entering the kingdom of God is easy and following Jesus is simple. We are deceiving people if we suggest that a person does not have to do much to be a disciple of Christ. The Lord says we must give up everything, that we can hold nothing back. Indeed, there is nothing that we get to keep in our hands. Anything that we hold back, giving our primary attention to or trying to keep hold of, is an idol. We are declaring that the person or object or activity is more important to us than Jesus. We are treasuring something or loving someone more than Jesus when we do. We must renounce all things, all pursuits, all comforts, all desires, all causes, all efforts, and subject them to Christ. It is not a question of how little one can give, but how much does God deserve? He deserves everything we are, everything we have, and everything we cherish and prize. Second, we must consider the cost of not following Jesus. Look at verses 34 and 35. If salt is no longer salt, what is it good for? Salt that has lost its saltiness has no value. It cannot be used for anything. Notice that it is thrown away. It is cast out. The cost of not following Jesus is enormous. You will be cast out. You will be cast out of God's presence. You will be cast out of his kingdom. You will be cast into the lake of fire. You will be cast into eternal torment. You will be cast into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when we put all this together today, we can see that grace comes with demands. But Jesus expects nothing that he has not already accepted for himself. If you are a disciple, you must meet the demands. Everyone seems to be giving up these days. But anything that matters and is truly important is hard and costly. But do not quit. Things may get tough. And too often we quit because it is hard. We see this in the younger generation as well as the older generation. You are going to face pressure to not intensely follow Christ. But count the cost of not following Jesus, and you'll find that it is too steep. For if you do not follow, you will lose everything. You will lose everything that matters to you if you do not follow Jesus. The question is, what will you do about Jesus? I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope our time has been edifying to you. I've been encouraged by your presence. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And if the Lord wills, we'll meet again next week at this same time for another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.